Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom he died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you.
Bible is something we want to gain the whole knowledge of. We want to have a comprehensive knowledge of the Holy Scriptures and everything in the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, all the truths, the stories, the revelation of Christ, which is the grand topic of all of Scripture. And that is a great desire. And the Lord also said that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So we want to lay up knowledge. A man of knowledge increases strength, the Scripture says. I believe that's Proverbs 24:5. And by the way, we also want to know it so we can speak intelligently about it. We can converse about it with other believers. But yet there's something I would say is even more important than the knowledge that we have of the Word of God. And that is that we must have the nourishment of the Word of God, no different than our physical bodies must be nutrified or nourished daily in order to be healthy and to have the energy to function powerfully. We have to feed our stomachs. And yeah, this is a illustration the Bible gives. Notice 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes desire the sincere or the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. So we see that nourishing our spirit with the Word of God is going to cause us to grow thereby. We can't possibly grow unless we are nourishing our hearts and fueling them with the Word of God, which is the only spiritual food God has ordained for our hearts, our spirits to have. Jesus said, man shall not live or have life with him by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And aren't we so blessed that he saw to it and ordained that his word was recorded for us so that we can feed on it every day? It's his manna from heaven that has come down and that we have in the canon of Holy Scripture from Genesis to Revelation. See, we must desire. Notice he tells us what to desire. Desire the sincere milk. He likens the Word of God to sincere or pure milk of the Word, and feed our spirit the Word of God daily, or we will grow weak and very quickly fall away. I don't know if you've noticed that yet, and I hope you haven't, but most of us have realized that when we're running on empty spiritually, we're weak. We're actually fainting in the way, and our relationship with God and the assurance and the presence of God is not steadfast in us. It's not present with us. And that's like going down the road and seeing a red flashing light on your dashboard. That hunger, that weakness, that distancing you're experiencing is the way the Lord is telling you to cry out to him, to get in his word, and to never get out of his word. And that's the next step. As we begin to mature, we realize that life is not going to work. It's just not going to work correctly if we're not full of the Word of God. I mean, you try to start getting up, going to work, your physical life and job every morning this week, and not fuel your body with nutrients, nourishment. See how long and how well that works. Probably be tempted to have a bad attitude. You know, what do they call it? Hangry. There it is. Like hungry and angry. Because your body, your mind, physical body needs the nutrients of the food you're eating, and so does your spirit, in order to be sustained and to be strong and nourished up. And the Bible speaks of nourished up in the words of eternal life. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. Let's read 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. Paul tells Timothy, "If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister, of a servant of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained." Now, specifically, I believe that can be a general statement, that we must put each other in remembrance of what God says, all of it, and specific parts of it, on a regular basis. Specifically there, he had just spoke about several things, including that in the latter times, some are going to depart from the faith. They're going to give heed to seducing spirits, that's demons, and doctrines of devils. Then they're going to go forth speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, and forbidding to marry. Wow, that's God's ordained will, is marriage between men and women, a man, one man and one woman, and commanding to abstain from meat, you know, telling people what they can eat and not to eat meat and all. That's part of the falling, the great falling away, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving and of them which believe and know the truth. And for every creature is of God is good. Nothing's to be refused, he tells him, if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Then he says, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine. We have to be nourished up in the words of faith on a daily basis. You're going to find, if you haven't already, that being in the word daily is not just something that you might want to get around to. It's a necessity, feeding your spirit daily, especially as this world is not only very dark already, it continues to be worse and worse. The Bible says evil men and seducers in these last days are going to wax worse and worse, for 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13. And he says in that chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, that men are going to be lovers of their own selves. They're going to be proud, boasters, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form. Some of them are going to have a mere form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, denying the power of Christ, that is, to reign in their personal lives. And that's what you're doing when you get up every morning and militantly get in the Word of God. It's not even a second thought. There's no slack in it. It's an absolute. Many of you military, many of you athletic people out there, you understand that it doesn't matter how you feel. You're doing what's right because it's right. And that's what we must all become in the body of Christ. If you're going to be a disciple of Christ, you're going to live by faith and not by sight or feelings. You're going to get up and do what you know to do militantly. There's no, I'm sick, I'm tired, I'm hitting the snooze button again. It's going to be getting up and getting in the Word of God. You're going to get those eyes on the Word of God, and you're going to let the Word of God not depart from thine eyes, as we read there in Proverbs chapter 4, beginning in verse 20, which says this: "My son, attend to what? My words." Notice, attend to my words. "Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes." There it is. That's a command. Don't ever, ever get up in the morning and not let the Word of God flood your eye gates. Get into your spirit and your soul. They're not only going to teach you, they're going to bring the light of Christ into your life every day. Psalm 119, verse 130. "The entrance of thy words," he said, "giveth light." Okay, left to its own devices, your heart, if you haven't noticed already, you will very soon, if you're a new Christian, that you got a flood. You got to open the floodgates of the light of truth from heaven, which is the words of God, and flood your darkened heart every day. You got to light it up. "The entrance," the entering in, that is, "of thy words," the words of God, "giveth giveth light. They shine light into that dark recesses of our hearts. So we're to attend to his words. We're to give ear or incline our ear unto his sayings and never let them depart from thine eyes. Verse 21, Proverbs 4. We're looking at Proverbs 4, 20 through 23. For this is a golden passage that you'll want to read on a repeated basis. For they, you know, the word of God is like food. I mean, you might have ate steak last week, but you're sure your mouth is watering. If you get somebody ask you, hey, would you like to come over and eat steaks with us? You're not going to tell them, oh no, I already ate steaks last week. The word of God is the same way. You could feed on the same scriptures, the same passages, the same parables, the same chapters, the same books of the Bible from now till the end of your life on earth. And it's going to fuel, it's going to feed you, it's going to furnish you. Amen. That steak last week you ate in our illustration nourished your body, made you feel great. It's like when you read a really good portion of the Word of God, you just get up and you just feel just like, I know all the gentlemen know exactly what I'm talking about. And you feel just full to all the way into your inner man, like you really put something in yourself that just makes you feel so, I don't know, how do you explain that? Just so satisfied all the way to the core of your being. And the same is true for the Word of God. For myself, you know, being a disciple is being a disciplined follower of Jesus. If you're looking at what I'm saying as legalistic, I don't think you have the right perspective. Okay, everything isn't chill bumps in the kingdom of God. In fact, very few things are, and we don't look for those things or the feeling. We just do what's right before a holy God as we worship him, not ourselves. We choose to worship him and set ourselves aside, deny self, take up the cross daily and follow him. And when you militantly do the will of God, including nourishing your spirit every day, you're going to be full of the Word of God. You're not always going to feel that great joy, but it's going to be there. The prophet Jeremiah said, thy words, he told the Lord, were found. How do you find them? You pick up your Bible and read it, right? There it is. Thy words were found, and I did do what? I ate them. I devoured them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. So the Word of God is going to bring joy into your heart. It's the only thing that's going to do that. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. Nehemiah 8:10. So we're not to let the Word of God, Proverbs 4:21, to depart from our eyes. We're to keep them in the midst of our heart, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. Amen. That's literal. I want you to pore over this passage. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The heart is the source. The heart of the matter, the heart of men or of mankind is the source. Whatever's in the heart, that's how the life is going to be and function. As he believeth in his heart, so is he, right? What is that? Proverbs 23:7, I believe it is. So 1 Timothy 4:6 again, before we transition here. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished, notice, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine. See, the only time the Bible speaks of nourishment of our spirit and our inner man, it connects it with the Word of God. Remember, we just read 1 Peter 2:2, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. In other words, the Word of God nourishes your spirit, your mind, your inner man, your heart, so that you grow thereby. That is, by the Word of God. Nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine. That's a portion verbatim of 1 Timothy 4:6. Nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. You have to attain personally to good doctrine. And the only way you're going to do that is to pour over the Holy Scriptures daily. You're going to be surprised how much knowledge of the Word of God you're going to begin to learn. We're talking about in this message two of the many benefits, and perhaps the most general and important benefits of the action of reading the Word of God. And that's going to be the general knowledge of the Word of God and the things of God through the kingdom perspective we learn in the Word of God, but also the nourishment of the Word of God. You have to have the nourishment of the Word of God. The Bible says Jesus forewarned that the love of many is going to wax cold in the final days. And we're seeing that. Many of you have seen people who once walked with God who have fallen away, or they're derailed, and we want to pray for them, but realize that they fell away because they got out of the Word. You're either in the Word of God, and the Word of God is thereby getting falling into you, or you are or already have fallen away. There's just no two ways about it. When you're out of the Word of God, you told God, I got this. I don't need you in my life that closely on a daily basis. Well, you've rejected Christ is what you've done. God's calling you to repent. You must feed, you must fuel, and you must feast on the words of God. Those who choose not to feast on and feed themselves and fuel themselves with the Word of God and fuel in their hearts with the words of God every day, they're not going to make it, saints. They're falling away already. You have to get in the Word and stay in the Word.
If
this ministry doesn't put forth anything else but that truth, which we do on a regular basis, I believe we're hitting a home run, if you will. Because if we can provoke you, the Bible says to provoke one another, right? To love and good works there in the book of Hebrews. What is that? 10:24-25? And we want to provoke you to that. We want to help you realize, in other words, the reality of how you live in a dark world, and you've got to fuel your spirit every day with the words of heaven. And that's not going to happen by accident. And that's not going to happen by listening to praise music. That's good too, but that's all supplemental to the foundational necessity of feeding, fueling your spirit every morning with the Word of God and feasting on the Word of God. Those who don't fuel, feed, and feast on the words of God by ingesting it and taking it in every morning, they're going to walk weak. They're going to be empty. They're going to be malnourished, just like the five foolish virgins, okay, who were ultimately shut out of the kingdom of Christ. Remember Matthew 25:1-13. What is the difference between the five foolish and the five wise virgins? Well, real simple in summation. The five wise virgins along the way heading into the marriage with the great bridegroom to meet him, that's Christ. And this is a picture of every one of us whom he has saved. We're all engaged to the bridegroom. We're not married to him yet. 2 Corinthians, I believe it's 11:3. Paul says he has espoused the body of Christ to Christ. And when you lead somebody to Jesus, or whoever leads them to Jesus, they're now engaged to Christ. They are not married. We're not married to him yet. You got to stay faithful to the end. It doesn't matter if you're listening and you don't like personal responsibility. That doesn't change anything. God's word's not going to change. He's not going to change for you. You're either going to repent, lay down your life, and conform and comply with what he stated in his word, declaring with Paul, let God be true and every
man a liar.
Or you're going to be without. You're going to be outside the kingdom of Christ. It's just that simple. It's time to shut up, to repent,
to cease judging other people, blame shifting, and take personal responsibility,
to humble ourselves and obey God in true worship. Amen. So anybody that's not in the Word of God, not fueling and feeding their spirit on the Word of God every day and feasting on it, they're going to be miserable. They're going to be weak, empty, malnourished, and they're going to fall away. The five foolish virgins ran out of oil. See, they didn't count the bridegroom important enough to stay in fellowship with him. I mean, it's like a woman that gets engaged to a man that she doesn't have time for him. Well, guess what? That man's going to terminate the engagement. Whose fault is that? It's the woman. She was too busy with the girls. She wasn't perfecting and nurturing and learning the things God created women to do in life, to be a good wife, a keeper at home, a good mother. A godly woman, when she's engaged to a man, goes deeper into focus. She's driven by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to learn the domestic things that is so amazing that God has built into women. Okay, she's not out partying with the girls, flying to Las Vegas, you know, with the girls trip and all of that foolishness, which is nothing but a bunch of pure evil. And I'm giving an extreme example. But no, she's focused on that marriage and on that man. Just like the five wise virgins, we're focused. We're looking at we're looking unto Jesus, the author and what? Finisher of our faith. Amen. Be not weary in well-doing, saints, for in due time you shall reap if you faint not. And you're not going to be able to prevent yourself from fainting like the five foolish virgins, or falling away, growing weak and falling away, if you don't fuel your spirit with the Word of God every day. So the five foolish virgins freely chose not to be nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine. They made the decision. They have no one to blame but themselves. You got to get up every morning and seek God's face, beautiful brother, sister. It's time to grow up now. When you were an infant, your mom and daddy fed you, and you were the most beautiful thing on the planet to them, right? All the parents know about that, that their kids are the most beautiful, precious blessings they've ever received. But it came time when that child began to take the spoon and the fork themselves and feed themselves. We're seeing people get saved, and they're having deep discussions about the Word of God all the time with other believers. They're memorizing and incorporating scripture, and they haven't even been saved a year. We've been seeing that for a while because, you know, with this outreach, we do, and correct me in anything I say that's wrong, guys, info@safeguardyoursoul.com. We don't send people to churches anymore. They're apostate, as the Bible foretold they would be, like 9 out of 10 of them at least. So it's not a, wow, you repented and received Christ. We prayed together. He saved you. Now go find a church. No. Oh, no. Oh, no. Please stop doing that. We don't find the church. We are the church. So we fellowship among ourselves. God doesn't count it special because people go to a certain building on Sunday morning. He said our walk with him is daily. And if it's not daily, it's not at all. Give us this day our daily, 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 daily bread. Okay, so we fellowship with him and one another daily. And it's amazing what happens when we begin to share that with believers from the onset and help disciple them, if you will, right away. It with daily fellowship, and it's amazing. See, all they're going to do when they go to find a church is they're going to become just another lukewarm patron and pawn and prey of a man who's building his own kingdom in most cases. How many people do you personally know who are on fire daily disciples of Jesus who are also very faithful church members? I don't know a lot of them. And you see, that's the fruit of the modern church. We must daily drink the healing oil, beloved, of God's words. That assures divine nourishment and wholeness in our spirit. God's word gets into us only when and as we get into it, as we seek his face daily. I want you to memorize a verse that I mentioned earlier. Jeremiah 15:16. Fantastic verse. And it's from the prophet Jeremiah. And let me read it to you and quote it to you again. The prophet Jeremiah said, thy words, he's talking to the Lord, thy words were found, and I did eat or devour, ingest them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord, God of hosts. Jeremiah 15:16. And it's interesting that the next verse, he says, I sat not in the assembly of the mockers, nor rejoiced. I sat alone because of thy hand. Thou hast filled me with indignation. It's interesting, you know, a lot of people want to go where everybody else is in the assembly of what has become a bunch of mockers, for instance, in the modern church. But sometimes we need to come apart from them and not even get involved in that, because you're just becoming another church member. And how many church members do you know today that can carry on a biblical conversation? Not many of them. What does that tell you? It's totally apostate. Okay, you can't separate growing in Christ with growing in the Word of God. It's impossible. It's the only way to grow. You got to feast. Modern pastors just want you to join their country club they call church. You can't even get saved in most of these churches, but if you do get saved, they just want you to come in there and be a church member. They're not interested in, they're not watching for your soul. They're not getting you in the Word of God. They're not feeding you the Word of God. And listen, here's all you need to know about the modern churches. How many of them use the King James Bible? 1 out of 100 or something? Okay, what does that tell you? The pastors are in darkness, totally. My friend Tim and I were talking recently. He talks about using Colossians 1:14 as a spearhead to show people, as he talks to people and ministers to them and fellowships with them. He spearheads the truth of the new versions by sharing with them that the blood of Jesus, the very blood of the covenant of God, the blood of Jesus, the blood of a lamb without which no man can be saved, has been removed from Colossians 1:14. Now, Tim has memorized that reference and he uses it on a regular basis. I want to encourage you to do the same. Those new versions are perverted. They're destroyed. And it was all purposeful by the one who, from the beginning, casted doubt on the Word of God first, and then he changed the Word of God. Okay, that's Satan himself, Genesis 3:1 and 3:4. So we want to encourage you to get in the real Word of God, to read the King James Bible.
Now, speaking of this great apostasy that was foretold, that we're seeing before our very eyes, a brother in Christ just told me today, he said, quote, "I got out of the apostate, quote unquote, church about 3 or 4 years ago now." He said he can't fellowship with any of those people anymore, unquote. And what I shared with him was that this is the direction of Christ for his remnant. Remember, come out from among her, be ye separate. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. So this exodus is ordained of God, no doubt. "Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." In other words, it's conditional. And we see that again in Revelation 18, verse 4 and 5. "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her." That's the professing apostate religion, or religious church, if you will, of our day. "Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues, for her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities." And notice, those who partake and don't come out are going to receive of her plagues. That's Revelation 18, verse 4 and 5.
Okay, so we find God's word according to Jeremiah 15, 16. We eat his words, and his words become the joy and rejoicing of our hearts, because daily we arise to feed, to feast upon, and to fuel our spirit with the Word of God, so that we're nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine. And before we close, let's talk a little bit about also meditating on the Word of God. Many times we see statements such as, quote, "the power of meditation." This is usually utilized by New Agers, right? Those that do yoga, and you see them sitting like in Indian style on the ground with their two fingers touching each other. You know, they're emptying themselves so that demons can possess them. It's exactly what they're doing. I think you find that in Hinduism, Buddhism, yoga. It's all straight from the occult. It's straight from hell. By the way, who needs yoga to exercise? I've been working out at gyms, etc., and at home my whole life. I'm sorry, I've never used yoga. What about you? I'm just reasoning here with this common sense. And by the way, what do men have to do with yoga? That's even worse. I'm sorry, you look like a little pansy out there doing your little yoga pose. Yes, I'm mocking it. It's totally foolish. And if I embarrass you because you participated or do in yoga, good, I'm glad I did. Okay, because that's just stupidity, man. It's time to spine up and get stupid feminine stuff like that out of your life. And ladies, who needs yoga to exercise? Who has deceived you into thinking that yoga has to be, or it should at all be included in your exercise? If you will put the word yoga into the search box on safeguardyoursoul.com, you'll find a very colorful post and podcast on this topic. It's called "The Truth About Yoga," but all you have to do is put the word yoga in the search box, and you will see that this thoroughly exposes yoga for its demonic nature and origins. You know, saying yoga is Christian, which some of these churches are doing, like T.D. Jakes's cult as an example, to say that yoga is Christian is like working at a strip club and claiming to be dancing for Jesus. What is wrong with you, man? "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." They pervert the word of God, and they call what he condemns to be something that's good. Isaiah 5:20. In short, yoga brings demon possession, which keeps the person captive to the lie. It was a seducing spirit that has seduced people, some people, to believe this doctrine of devils called yoga. It's like they're doing their own little seance, their own little satanic seance. They have to keep doing it, by the way. Their little witchcraft drill, and it doesn't work. I mean, it's so silly. That silly little yoga pose won't forgive your sins, my friend, give you peace, or save you from going to hell. Only Jesus can do that.
And so yoga is just another cheap substitution, a cheap counterfeit of the salvation plan God ordained and accomplished in His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. When He was crucified on that cross, buried, and raised again for our justification, this so great salvation, which provides for the forgiveness of our sins, for salvation, and everything in the plan of God as stated in Scripture, for all that are in Christ, who are seated together in heavenly places with Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3.
And God wants you to mull over. That's what meditation is, to mull over His Word. Amen. You're always going to see that in the Bible, meditation is always linked together with the Word of God. And we're going to read that here in Joshua 1, 8, which says, "This book of the law," that's the Bible, "shall not
depart out of thy mouth." That is, the Bible, the words of Holy Scripture, shall not depart.
How's it going to get in your mouth unless it's first in your mind and in your heart? It's not. That's why it says, "This book of the law," that's the Bible, the Word of God, "shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night." Why? "That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Anyone who wants to prosper and have good success is going to put the Word of God first. By the way, God doesn't call prosperity and success what the world calls it. The world calls it, defines prosperity and success, and so do so many of these false preachers, as monetary. They reduce it to monetary. But the Bible says, "Hath not God chosen those that are poor in this world, yet rich, they're rich in faith," James 2:5. Being rich with God, Luke 12:15 through 21, is what matters and what you're going to be judged with. Remember, what good, Jesus said, would it be for a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? For what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? There are those who are hasting after, they're coveting the riches of this world. And according to 1 Timothy 6, they're piercing themselves through with many sorrows. Amen. But they that will be rich, he says, 1 Timothy 6, chapter 9, those that will be rich, in other words, those that are on this mission to find a way to be rich in this world, they fall into what? Temptation and a snare, and into many a trap, that is, snare means trap, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. They're going to hell. That's what running after the riches of this world will do. I want you to read 1 Timothy 6 as a whole lot more. That's not our main subject today. Also, in Ephesians 5, we read that a covetous man, are you coveting Jesus more of Christ? Or are you coveting the things of this world? Okay, if you're desiring Christ, you're desiring the sincere milk of the Word. You can't separate a man of God from the Word of God. If you're not a man of the Word of God, you're not a man of God at all. You're a fraud, and God's calling you to repent at once and begin to be just absolutely baptized in the Word of God, to fuel, to feed, to feast on the words of God, and to obey them, to meditate on them. A covetous man who is an idolater. Anybody that's covetous, it's because they're not content in Christ, and they are idolaters. Every list of hellbound sinners in the Bible, namely the New Testament, every list of soul-damning sins includes idolatry in the New Testament, and there are many of them. A covetous man who's an idolater, they have no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. That's Ephesians chapter 5, verse 5. God's calling you to get in the Word, to feast on the Word, to fuel with the Word of God, and to meditate on the Word of God. Meditation is biblical. It's been stolen by the cults. To meditate on Scripture is to allow the truth of God's Word to move from your head to your heart. It is to dwell. You're to dwell upon the truth. And when you do, it becomes a part of who you are. And the only way you're going to be able to meditate on the Word of God is to fuel, to get that Word in you. Meditating on God's Word day and night, as we just read in Joshua 1:8, is imperative to success and prosperity in Christ's kingdom. Let me say that again. When you get into God's Word, that's when it's going to get into you and not before. And meditating on God's Word day and night, as it says in Joshua 1:8, is imperative. It's essential to success and prosperity in Christ's kingdom. Let's read it again. Joshua 1:8, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then, that is, when you're full of the word of God and stay full of it,
thou shalt make thy way prosperous,
and then thou shalt have good success.
You're going to become prosperous in the kingdom of Jesus Christ
when you meditate
upon the word of God day and night.
The only way you're going to be able to meditate on it day and night is to be fueling with it every day. Amen. As you arise, you should, I believe it's important to have a certain amount of chapters in the Bible that you're going to read. The Bible says, blessed is he that readeth, amen, and it does, the word of God, Revelation 1:3. Then 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, study. Yes, yeah, study. We read the word of God. We study the word of God. We meditate on the word of God. We obey the word of God. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, before I forget to say it, I want to encourage you, beloved saints, to memorize Joshua 1:8. Trust me, it's not a hard one. It seems like a long verse, but it's really not. It's just absolutely beautiful. If you'll say something, first of all, write it on an index card with your hand. This is one of the most amazing ways to learn the Bible. Millions of Christians can testify to that. When you write it out, it's already getting in you
in a big way.
Because it has to. Think about the process of writing. It's got to go through your mind, and you're transcribing it yourself. And you say it out loud. You speak it, maybe put it by your mirror so that when you're shaving in the morning or brushing your teeth, you know, you're there and you're bringing it in. You've already studied the Bible. Now you're starting to focus in on one verse or one truth. You know, we memorize anything in life by repetition and association. It's important, in my estimation, to learn to navigate the Word of God. So as you're learning the Word of God, you might as well just couple it together with learning the reference so that you're able to navigate. Well, why is that important? Well, because Jesus, when he stood up in Luke 4 in the temple and read the scriptures, he found the place that it was written. Maybe that's Luke 4:14. Quote, he found the place it was written. Jesus knew how to navigate the word of God. Also, Peter says, 1 Peter 3:15, to be ready always, be ready to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you. So if you're ready to do it, you're going to be more ready, I should say, if you're able to navigate the word of God and give them the word of God. Okay, the only way to be prosperous, to have good success, is by making God's word the final divine authority of your life and mulling it over day and night. Amen. It's saying with Paul, let God be true and every man liar, Romans 3:4. So this was God's instruction to Joshua and to his people, to God's people, to meditate day and night upon his words, to keep them first, to mull them over.
This would be essential,
right, to possessing the promised land. If you know about what Joshua is about, in verse 3 of Joshua 1, the Lord says, every place that the sole of thy foot treads upon, I have given to you. And what's important in possessing the promised land is to be full of the word of God, to let it not depart from your eyes or your mouth, to meditate therein day and night. You cannot have a successful life with Christ without the word of God being first place in your life. Remember Psalm, verse chapter 1 says, blessed is the man. I'm sorry, who's the blessed man? Here it is. Blessed is who? The man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, how are you not going to walk in the counsel of the ungodly if that's all that's in you? You got to flush all that out. You got to have the action of the washing of water by the word of God, Ephesians 5:26. And that's through dousing your mind and your heart with the word of God every day and washing all of the ungodly counsel of the world out of your life. Jesus said, now are you clean through the word, amen, through the word of God that I've spoken unto you, John 15:3. Psalm 1:1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight, whose delight? The delight of the man of God. His delight is in what? The law of the word of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Notice we got three things we see here. Again, meditation is always coupled with the word of God. And we also have, we got the word of God, we got delighting in the word of God, we got meditating in the word of God, and we got the time that it happens. It's day and night. It's always. When we begin to fuel and to feed ourselves with the Word of God and to feast upon it, we're going to begin to be able to see more and more everything in this world through the eyes of God. The only way you're going to see the world and the things in this world that you encounter and that you stand back and see, and that those that are personal right up front in your life, is to be full of the Word of God and to view everything through the Word of God. You cannot be prosperous in Christ's kingdom or successful unless you're in the Word of God. You're fueling it, fueling your mind and heart with it. You're feeding upon it. You're nourishing yourself with it. You're feasting on it. And then you're meditating on it. And you judge and you discern and distinguish and measure out everything through the eyes of God, which is given to us, the mind of Christ, in the Word of God. But His delight is in the law of the Lord. Amen. We're to delight in the Word of God. And when we do, the Word of God is going to be our delight. Remember, another memory verse, Jeremiah 15:16. Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. But His delight is in the law of the Word of the Lord, and in His law doth he meditate day and night. And verse 3, Psalm 1, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. There it is again, the linking together of the Word of God in us and prosperity. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Why? Because he's feasting on the Word of God. He's like a tree that's planted next to a stream, being fed daily, day and night, right? The nutrients, the minerals in the water are nutrifying, nourishing the roots of that tree. And it's growing healthy. It's growing steadily. It's growing stronger. Its leaf is just green as it can possibly be, instead of being parched from lack of nutrients feeding into the roots of that tree. And the Bible uses that illustration, for example, in the 17th chapter of Jeremiah. But here we see a healthy tree, and the leaf doesn't wither. The leaves don't wither. They're full of vibrant, beautiful green chlorophyll because they're receiving on a constant basis the nourishment that is in that water that feeds those roots day and night. There are four benefits of meditating on the Word of God. There's probably more, but here are four of them. Meditating on God's Word will give you spiritual success, Joshua 1:8. Number two, meditating on God's Word will help you to keep your heart right before Him. We read earlier in Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And how are you going to do that? Well, right in that same passage, it says, don't let your eyes depart from the Word of God.
That's the only way to keep your heart right, is to keep it fueled, furnished with the Word of God. You keep feeding on it, feasting on it every day. Number three benefit to meditating on God's Word. Meditating on God's Word will give you insights and wisdom that will guide you at every turn in your life and to cause you to be able to see the world and everything that happens in it and around you through the eyes of Scripture. All right, the number four benefit of meditating on God's Word. Meditating on the Holy Scriptures will help you fill your mind with the things of God, and that's exactly what it does. You know, the word meditate, again, the word meditate is a Bible word. It's often misused today, but we are reclaiming it, if you will. It's always going to be connected with the Word of God. Every time you see meditate in the Word of God, it's going to be connected with the words of God. Meditate appears, the word meditate, 14 times in the Word of God as we come in for a landing here. In Genesis 24, you remember the story about Isaac and Rebekah. All of us unmarried folks sure do like the wisdom that we find there concerning finding your godly mate. Amen. Isaac went out to meditate in the field at eventime, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. So he was busy meditating on the Word of God. If you meet somebody that's not a vibrant Christian, nobody's perfect. We understand that. But if they're not in the Word of God, you can't talk a few scripture with them. Is that really a person that you want to look at as being your mate? I doubt it. Isaac was a man of God. He's out there meditating on the Word of God. That was Genesis 24:63. Psalm 63:6 says, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. Amen. Psalm 77:11. I will meditate also in all thy work and talk of thy doings. Psalm 119:15. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways.
Amen. Again, he says, the psalmist says he's going to meditate in the precepts of the Lord. That's the words of God. So you never have the word of God in the kingdom economy separated from meditation, or meditation separated from the word of God. They're integrally, inseparably married together in God's economy. Psalm 119, 23. Princes or leaders also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Statutes is another word for the written word of God. Psalm 119, verse 48. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, or thy words, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. There it is, meditating on the word. Verse 78 of Psalm 119. I will meditate in thy precepts. Verse 148 in Psalm 119 says, mine eyes prevent or go before, that is, the night watches, that I might meditate in thy word. Okay, the word meditation appears, as we come in for a close here, friends, five times. Here's two of them, or three of them right here. Psalm 104:34, my meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. Psalm 104:34. Psalm 119:97. Oh, how I love thy law, thy words. Law means instruction. Oh, how I love thy law. And the word of God is the written instructions, among other things, of God. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation. There it is. All the day. In other words, all day long, day and night, just as we read in Psalm chapter 1, the godly man or woman meditates on the word of God day and night. All right, one more. Psalm 119:99. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies, that's your words, the words of God, are my meditation. Amen. You can be wiser than those that are professors because you meditate on the word of God. And we see that a lot. So as with everything in Christ's kingdom, these things are appropriated by repentance, faith, and the cross, the crucified life, with ingesting the word of God and living by faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Your faith is fortified and it grows as you ingest the word of God, as you apply the word of God, as you obey the word of God. Before we pray, let's summate this by saying God is calling each of us. God is calling you, the Lord is, my friend, to feed on the word of God, to feast on it, to fuel your life with it,
to fill your life with it,
to obey it, and to meditate upon it day and night. Amen. Then you're going to make your way prosperous. Then you're going to have good success. And that's God's desire for your life. But he holds you responsible to engage in a relationship with him on these stated terms, which include the things that we have beheld in his word today in this message. Let's pray, saints. Heavenly Father, we here and now ask you in the name of Jesus Christ to break us to the very core of our being, to do a fresh work, O God, a deeper work as we know you desire to do. We ask you to grant your gift of true repentance and a turning away from all that defiles us, from all sin, omission and commission. Let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in thy sight, O God, O Lord Jesus, our strength and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcast on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture rich and Christ centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month. And your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site. And you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so. And a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.